This is a podcast from The Gay Show, Tuesday Night Out. Downloading this show doesn't mean you're a gay. And anyway, nobody knows you're listening.
Hello, this is Julian Clary.
Christopher Biggins.
Toby Sawyer.
Bridget Fairbrother.
Hayley Popper.
Stuart McConey.
Noetta.
Mark Gatiss.
And on a Tuesday night, I want you all to listen to...
Tuesday Night Out.
Tuesday Night Out.
Tuesday Night Out.
Tuesday Night Out.
On WFM.
It's not just for the gays.
Any old riffraff can tune in.
I have no problem with the gays. You know I'd walk on hot coals for Paul O'Grady.
She's not, is she?
She is indeed. I like that. You don't like that, do you?
No, it's not exactly my favourite song ever.
Well, it's fitting for a gay radio show.
Is it?
Two old queens sat here with their laptops.
Oh,
what more could you want?
I suppose so, yes.
Indeed, it's Tuesday night out.
Hooray, we're here, we're queer, and we're not going shopping.
But I've discovered...
Yes?
Asda is now open till midnight.
Midnight?
For those who really need to shop at midnight for their Christmas food.
Oh, my word.
Indeed. We should get sponsorship, shouldn't we? Oh. But other than that, we're still here. Because we're free, we're gay, and we're happy.
Absolutely.
I'm ecstatic.
Are you?
Well, I'm quite sad, though.
We are, though, yes.
Mm.
Yes.
We'll be having lots of things come up in today's show, one of which is a tribute to Blanche.
Yes.
The poor Blanche, poor Sue. Is it Sue? Maggie. Even.
Maggie Jones.
Poor Maggie. I was thinking of Sue Nicol. Maggie, who died, who passed away last week. Played Blanche, of course. We'll be playing some of our favourite Blanchisms.
Oh, and we've got plenty of those.
I've got loads. Oh, loads, yes, of those. We've got guests.
Oh, and guestages.
Guestages from a clothing label type thing.
Oh.
I know, I'm amazed. Oh. And we've also got the last week's HIV World AIDS Day Vigil.
And we've got a prize to give away.
We've got prizes. We've got prizes. So how can you get in touch with us?
Well, people... I'm feeling husky. You're feeling husky.
I'm feeling a husky.
Poor little husky. I've heard what's happened after they, you know, they killed a rat in the jungle. If you're feeling up a husky,
Where will the world end? Tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Most likely,
so
yes.
How can you get in touch with us?
You can email us tuesdaynightout@live.co.uk.
You can indeed. You can text us.
07530 43 70 56, which comes straight through to the gay phone.
The gay phone, and you are there holding the lovely gay phone.
I am. I've got it in my little sweaty mitts now.
It's lovely, the gay phone. And what else? You can get us on Facebook.
Yes. Tuesday Night Out. Just search for the fan page group thing.
Indeed.
And of course our website, tuesdaynightout.co.uk, where you can get our last 10 podcasts all completely free.
Tuesday Night Out.
Ooh, hold your horses. So you'll have to let go of the husky first.
Okay.
Before you hold the horse.
Oh, oh, oh.
Thank you very much. Because...
That was Blanche.
Because it is December, which means, therefore...
Yes.
The sleigh bells are back.
Yeah. Does that mean we're going to be playing Christmas hits?
I've only got 3 CDs worth of Christmas stuff with me.
Good looks are a curse. First up, you and Ken should count yourselves very lucky.
Indeed. I think we should as well. We're on the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
With our fabulous good looks. So it's Tuesday night out here through till 11 o'clock.
They wouldn't let us on the television, for people's eyes would bleed.
Not with that hairdo, wouldn't I, love?
No. Mm. Look, I'm just having a non-gel in my hair day, for once.
You look like Stephen Fry.
Thank you.
It's okay.
I wish I had as many followers as he does.
Indeed. So we're here, we're queer, we're not going shopping. It's the LGBT show, we're through till 11 o'clock.
Oh, yes.
We've got a fashion designer, clothing label owner person coming up in a minute.
Yes, I know.
I've got some Sue Watch news.
Sue Watch?
She's been attacking pensioners in car parks down in Bournemouth or something.
Wow.
We've got some George Michael news.
Mm, yes.
And we've also, lots of George Michael, and some Archbishop Canterbury news. We'll be bashing the bishop a little bit later on.
Blimey, Charlie.
But hang on a second.
Trust in any family is vital. Deirdre, I'm trying to be honest here.
Honesty and trust. Two things you're a world expert on, eh, Ken?
Ken recently had an affair with an actress. Oh, it wasn't Nicole Kidman or a Glenda Jackson. She lived on a tugboat.
It was a barge. Is there any wonder why I drink?
Pouring. My love life is boring me to tears. After all these years, and we won't waste another tear.
I'm all to tizzy. We've got our guest in.
We have.
Hello, guest.
Hello.
Oh, he smells very nice.
Does he smell very nice? Yes. He sounds very nice.
We've had some very whiffy guests in here, buddy. obviously put a bit of a spray on for us.
Oh, is it Sure for Men? We've got a competition on for that.
Yes. Does it have tri-solid body responsive technology? And why does it sound in my ears like I'm in a toilet at the moment?
It's because we've got all the microphones
on.
Oh,
right. Okay, then.
And that's where you like to be. Yeah. You met George Michael there. Well, I was going to say Michael Jackson, but that was a different holiday you were on there, love.
Shocked him to death, I did.
No, and we'll not talk about Janet either.
Oh, no, we won't mention the words fat ass and Janet Jackson in the same sentence, will we? Oh, and miming as well. No.
And she's not taken to comfort eating since the death of Michael, as you can tell. So would you like to tell us, what your name is and where you come from?
Yeah, my name's Keeman, and I'm originally from Birmingham and moved up to Manchester last year.
Okie dokie. What do you want to come to a place like this for?
I don't know. No,
we know.
Better shopping.
Better shopping.
Yeah.
Because I went to the Bullring one about 1974. So has it changed a little bit since then? They've put some nice little round bits on the outside, haven't they, since then?
Yeah, I think everything's changed since then.
Yeah.
I think they knocked it down and rebuilt
it. They probably have. Yeah. It needed it. My dad used to work in the Rotunda.
Okay.
And that's flats now, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, it's changed a little
some
bit.
Swanky flats.
Murray.
Yeah.
Murray.
Yes.
You don't want to be doing that with your arm.
Oh, am I not quite so Sure for Men Fresh?
You got a stain.
There's definitely.
I can't now.
I'm only joking.
There's a wet patch.
Have I got wet patches? I'm excited.
Definitely under that arm.
Oh, it's nice. I've now got to do radio with my arms tucked to my side. No
like
comment.
A Tyrannosaurus Rex.
What was that on this weekend?
I don't know.
It was a joke on something this weekend that. Oh, I've watched that much telly. So, you're here to tell us about your new clothing label.
Yep, Council Royalty.
Where do you get a name like that from?
It's a mix between my background and also my dreams. So, when I was younger, I always wanted to be a king. So
living in the gutter, staring at the stars.
Sort of thing, yeah.
Excellent, no, it's brilliant. I was just rather looking at the, living in the stars, looking at the gutter.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's the sort of thing always wanted to make yourself better, so that's where you've got the royalty idea from.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, so you've set up your own clothes label.
Yeah.
And do you design everything yourself?
Everything from scratch.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you qualified in that?
No.
Wow. So you just decided that one day I'm going to make a clothes label.
I've got a degree in tourism business management in Spanish, but
that still doesn't say making t-shirts to me.
But then I realised there weren't enough money in tourism and I wanted to do something different.
Wow.
So I woke up with this idea and I thought there's no harm in giving it a go.
No, that's brilliant. So you'd never designed anything before, but now you've got a whole range of stuff that's made and created.
Yeah, I've got a very creative mind and I thought I might as well put it to good use.
So how would you describe the Council Royalty then? Sort of
the garments.
The look, yeah.
The
look. How do you? What is
very
the look?
Very urban,
right?
It's urban, kind of like fantasy and reality, but very urban. It's whatever you want it to be, really. It's the urban link to riches.
Ah.
So you tell us a bit more about what you've had to go through to get that set up.
Well, basically, I had my idea, and then took my idea to the Prince's Trust. And they put me through a series of challenges to see how serious I was on the idea. And then
you weren't collecting stars and eating bugs, though, at the time?
No. Would have been a lot easier.
Would it, really? Even with Kim Woodburn.
He had to eat 3 cream crackers on the trot without a glass of water.
And then they put you through a series of stages, and they give you a grant and a loan. And also, you have a business mentor for 2 years to help you.
So, you've got to be a certain age for that, haven't you? You've got to be like under 25.
Under 25, yeah.
Oh, sorry, we don't do under 25s. Hey, could you get out?
Thank you. We only do over 40s in this studio. So I suppose it was a bit like, was it a bit like The Apprentice then, the kind of thing that you had to do?
It could be quite challenging because not having a fashion background, I was unaware of a lot of challenges I would be facing.
Mm.
But, I've had good support from friends and family. I'm a leg. So, I've decided to give it a go, and here I am today. So,
wow. That's brilliant stuff.
So have you started exhibiting it yet?
Yeah,
because I know that the clothes show live things on at the moment.
I'm hoping to be there next year.
Ah, right. So I would have thought, being a Birmingham person, it is down at the NEC.
Yeah, I was there
called
on
in
Friday.
Cup of tea with people that you know in the area. Yeah.
Does what's his name still do it?
Jeff Banks, he's still there. He's still there, yes.
Wasn't Selena Scott in there?
Yes. Karen Franklin
she's
as well.
I'm telling him, oh, she's too old.
Right. So you're hoping to be there next year?
Yeah, but my garments are online. I've got an online shop.
Tell us what the website is.
It's www.councilroyalty.com.
Excellent.
It's quite an obvious one, really. That wasn't.
It was
at
easy,
least it wasn't an obscure one. I mean, we have people coming in going, and I've got a website, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah. I think he's a little bit more clued up than that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, he's younger.
So. Yes.
He's youngsters.
No, not like
Can
us.
Can you show me how to use this laptop?
We've just got him up to Christmas bells. Is it time for a Christmas hit? Have we got a Christmas hit? Is it too early for Christmas hits, really?
I think that if I gave you that, and I think it's track 4.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
You don't get this on BBC Radio Manchester, do you?
So is this part of the stuff you have designed yourself that you are currently modelling?
Yeah, I'm wearing Padre, which is Spanish for dad. And this is a I Heart Council Royalty t-shirt.
Oh. So you've used your little logo for the Council Royalty as your heart.
Yeah.
And I like the label on the sleeve there as well.
Yeah, they are 100% comb cotton, and if you want to touch it.
He gets to touch the guest. Doesn't often get to touch the guest. Normally have to restrain him.
Oh, he's very smooth.
Is it lovely?
Well, his T-shirt is, yeah.
Marvellous. And what size is that in? And what size did you do? Would they fit to the larger ladies like ourselves?
I got up to a 42 in a men's T-shirt.
I might just get in that. Yes.
Or was he a 46? You'd have to go online.
Okay.
And have a butcher's.
But you brought us loads of free samples out there, I noticed. You brought us loads of stuff.
Oh, they're all in small.
You did it deliberately. Deliberately did.
I am so stupid. It's taken you 50-odd years to realise that. Oh, hallelujah. I thought they might be offering me a promotion.
Oh, what did he say?
Who? My manager. The one with the nose?
No, the other one.
Turns out they're having a bit of a reshuffle.
Right.
Have you been sacked?
Not quite. 6 jobs are turning into 4, so we've all got to reapply.
Oh, no.
I know. I felt sick when he told me. I still feel sick.
But your work record there, it's good, isn't it? I don't think you've got anything to worry about.
I do. You're hardly ever there.
I'm on flexi time.
And who wants to employ a 53-year-old?
54?
This gets better.
Hi, it's Christopher Biggins, and on a Tuesday night, I want you all to go out. So why don't you listen to Tuesday Night Out?
Excellent. You are here listening to us here on Tuesday Night Out, and here with Keeman, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know when your name is in your head, it's Keeman.
Yeah.
And you're from Council Royalty.
Yeah.
And you've just been telling us about why you've set the website up and why you've done it and what else you're doing with your website and your company. And tell us, first of all, the type of clothes we can expect if we go onto your website, because unfortunately not everyone currently is sitting in front of the web. So what sort of things do you specialise in?
At the moment, it's printed and embroidered T-shirts and hoods, polo tops, ladies' vests.
With kangaroo pockets.
Yeah.
What's a kangaroo pocket?
I didn't realise what a kangaroo pocket was. Well, if you're wearing a hoodie and it's the pocket at the front, you can shove your hands in.
It's a muff, isn't it? Isn't that a muff?
No, that would have been a muff if it was out and it was wrapped around your hands. But
I've always called it a muff.
But if you think about it, it's right, because that's where a kangaroo would keep its little baby.
But kangaroos go down the front, they go from the sides.
Yeah, well,
the urban kangaroo. Oh.
He does things differently than urban kangaroo.
Is there such a thing as an urban kangaroo?
I think we'll find one, and there is now. We've just invented it.
Any Australian listeners out there that could tell us about urban kangaroo?
We have had comments in, actually, already. I bought a Council Royalty T-shirt and hoodie and was really impressed by the designs and the quality. Highly recommended. So people are buying stuff. And I've seen you on, because you are on Facebook as well, and you've got your Facebook group, that people have actually stopped you in the street and asked you what you're wearing and where you got it from.
How good
is that?
I was quite proud of that moment, but a little bit shocked.
I bet you did cartwheels down through St Anne's Square, didn't you?
No, it was in the Arndale Centre, and someone stopped me and said, where'd you get your T-shirt from? And I was like, councilroyalty.com. And the mother was like, give her a card. I was like, I can't. He's gone, why not? It's got my phone number on it, and she's only like 30.
You could have crossed it, ripped it in half, and just give her the top bits. You need some without that bit on, don't you? Without your details on. Yes. That's fantastic. How did you feel with that?
It made me feel really good, really proud of what I've achieved so far, but I'm still. Got a long way to go, yeah.
Well, how long have you been? What was the date that you set off doing this?
I launched Friday the 13th of November, so it's pretty new.
But when did you actually start? Make the first call to
talking about it for about 2 years, and I made my first inquiry about it about a year ago.
Wow.
Have you thought about going on Dragon's Den?
They'd rip me apart.
Why would they?
They just would. It's not an environment that I would probably feel comfortable in.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does.
No.
I actually wore some underpants from somebody that was on on Dragon's Den.
Were they used?
They were selling.
I didn't buy them on eBay or anything like that. Specially made. Yeah. That's another story I'll tell you later.
This sweat came from Deborah Mead during the interrogation.
No, he was selling underpants that enhanced your manhood.
Right, I think I've heard about this one, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually had them on a radio station I was doing last year, and I had a live fashion show in the middle of the Arndale Centre, and we had to make this... Well, in fact, the Arndale Centre wouldn't let us do naked men in the middle, so we had to get them in this pink taxi, which was in the Arndale Centre at the time, and make this poor lad out of this shop wear these underpants. And he was on the bloke who ran it, Brian, he was called. He was on Dragon's Den for about 10 minutes and didn't get a bean out of them.
Right, okay.
So I can imagine, he said it was a really scary place to be.
I can imagine, I can see him all sweating and stuff. That's not what I would want to do.
But at least you now know if you go into an underwear range with your council royalty, not to try and do a naked show down at the Andale.
Because I think that'd be quite fun.
But they won't let you do it.
No, they won't let you.
They wouldn't let you do it.
It was a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
And you can't
try a Wednesday.
These certain things you can't do with Becky Want next to you, I tell you. She's got a reputation, you know. So, yeah, we had to keep him covered up, which wasn't really quite the look I was wanting, really. Never mind. But you're not just about making money for yourself, are you? You're also going to give something back to your community. Tell us a bit about that.
I intend to do presentations at high schools and explain to young people that you don't have to be super intelligent or, you know, uber rich to start a business, or at least try and start a business. But because there's agencies such as the Prince's Trust who have business mentors and advisors to try and guide you in the right direction. And especially if you're from a less, you know, fortunate background, then there is grants and loans available to help you get starting with your own business, no matter what it may be. So.
Even in this current climate that we're in now, there's still money out there that advice people can get.
And it's just a lot of people from these backgrounds are unaware of the amount of money that's out there and waiting to be used up. So I would encourage everybody who's between the ages of 16 and 25 to do it.
So have you started and done all this from grants and things, or have you had an investor anywhere? Or
Bit of both.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Does Dave sit up all night sewing T-shirts?
Every day.
I can imagine him with an
ironing
eagle.
Them.
Yeah. Can you see him?
You've got those diamantes, Skewiff. Get back to the sweatshop.
Yeah.
Go on.
200 sequins later, he's got to unpick them all. I can imagine him. So you've used grants and money. So what sort of, can I ask what kind of ballpark figure you can get grant-wise to set something like that? Or do you need to do that?
It depends on what region you come from. The Prince's Trust, I know that if you're in Birmingham, it can be up to £5,000.
Really?
That's £4,000 loan and £1,000 grant, but up in Manchester, it's just a £2,000 loan and that's it. So it just literally depends on what area you're from.
Right, excellent. So how do you get in touch with the Prince's Youth?
The Prince's Trust, they are online, and there's contact numbers you can call, and then they set up a meeting, and then you go from there.
Excellent stuff. I'm too old, though, aren't I?
Then all of a sudden...
And I've got no ideas.
All of a sudden, you've got a website and you've got your own place.
I can have a little sandwich van. Can you imagine me in a sandwich van? No. Probably not.
I don't know. You could sell donuts, probably.
How rude.
I know, exactly. So are you planning on doing an oversized men's range next, then, for Anthony?
I'm hoping.
Are you planning to do a pensioner's range for Molly?
We could do Winciette hoodies. That'd be really good. We got that idea first. That's mine. I'm off to the Prince's Youth Trust thing.
Arms down.
Sorry. I've not had me sure for men.
Rock Hudson, Michael Barrymore, Elton John, all married before they went the other way.
Mother,
one night at the theatre is not going to turn Ken gay.
And you're right. At his age, it's very hard to break into something new.
Oh, lovely Blance.
Maggie.
Oh, we were really upset. We were on the phone, weren't we, going, oh, yeah. We're really upset. I'm really depressed.
She's died.
But yeah.
There's so many people talking about her, though.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it was all agog on Facebook.
Are you a Corrie fan yourself, Keeman?
No. I don't get time to watch
it. Get out.
I'm always out.
Don't worry.
Always out? The youth of today. Yes. So you've got all your T-shirts and you've got your hoodie tops ready at the moment. What's the website address?
www.councilroyalty.com.
Cool. And what's the next development for you?
More designs early next year and another photo shoot campaign. And then, to move on from there.
Cool. We've already had just a phone call during the last asking to be on your next photo shoot.
I know, yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it? No one phoned me up.
My models were actually great. I used all my friends as models, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, so you can get me the phone number of that one. No, anyway. Yes, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
Nice car.
you said, though, you're still sticking mainly with the T-shirts and the hoodies for the men.
Yeah, because all my T-shirts are named, all my garments are named after someone that's had an influence in my life. I think I've got some more T-shirts just to cram everybody in, and then I'll move on to something else.
I'm very impressed with the Margaret Thatcher and the Joan Bakewell T-shirts, yes. By the way. Oh, very eclectic people have had an influence on your life.
And that tweed skirt.
Somebody's got a look in his face there going, who's Joan Bakewell?
Yeah.
Yes. She's the thinking man's crumpet, Liz. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry, they're smiling outside.
It's like, yes.
You know who Joan Bakewell is, don't you? There you go. There, yes.
He's much older, isn't he? Do you do all the designs of the T-shirts yourself?
Yeah, I do. I do like a kind of like X Factor style, where I do quite a few designs and then I'll knock some out and then I'll keep going and going and going until I've got the final one.
Oh, get you, little Louis Walsh, sat in the corner. There's not. You haven't got your grey hair, you haven't got the bags or anything, love. You're nothing like Louis Walsh.
And I don't think he's a one-trick pony either.
Apparently, Jedward got booed and bottled the other day.
Oh,
wasn't
surprised.
Me. No, so they've now stopped doing the club nights. Yes. It's a shame, isn't it, really?
Apparently, Lloyd's going to be at Selfridges. He's applying for a job. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Tuesday Night Out.
There you go.
There's no one listening. It's councilroyalty.com.
Yeah.
I'm just having a look through. I quite like the blue DJ T-shirt, which says, I think, therefore I am.
Yes, yeah. I like that one as well. Oh, God.
Have you got that in an extra, extra large?
I've got that in an extra large.
With you?
No. Oof. But I noticed that your bag was outside with your credit card in, so I got it in.
Yes, it's a little rubber credit card.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Never mind. Right. So we've got that coming up. You've councilroyalty.com, and anyone can get in touch with you. Is there an email address we can get in touch with you there as well?
Contact me on info@councilroyalty.com.
Brilliant stuff. And if that's either for the clothes or for any advice, business advice and things like that.
Anything good at all, you can, well, within reason, then you can drop me a line.
And despite the fact he didn't bring us anything in extra large here as a freebie, we'll probably put some.
I could try a small one. I can still fit some smalls.
We might put a link on our website, but
I think we
get nothing. People they bring nothing for us.
Yes,
and we've even given them chocolates from 2 weeks ago. We've let them have a chocolate.
We've done everything.
Have we seen a T-shirt in return? Have we, buggery? All I got to do was touch his.
Yeah, at least you got to touch him.
It's what was combed cotton.
Is it Egyptian?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not sure, are you?
No, it's from India.
Oh, okay.
But I will say, it states on my website, there's no child labour involved.
Oh, good.
My manufacturers are part of the Fair Wear Foundation, which ensures that as well.
Brilliant stuff. You've thought all this through then. You seem to be
definitely
well clued up on what you're doing.
I forgot to mention that it's also it's a carbon neutral company.
Oh. How do you make a carbon neutral company?
I used a company called the Carbon Consultancy Company, and they calculated all my emissions.
Oh, right.
And then
sounds very rude, and they calculated my emissions. Someone walked round behind your bottom with a thermometer going,
Oh, he's farted. He's farted again. Oh, your emissions are up. Oh,
the number of trees they have to plant around me, I tell you. Right. So you can actually work out, because there's an advert, isn't there, for water at the minute that says it's 700 litres of water for a T-shirt. That's quite a lot of water.
It goes very deep, so I just left them because I don't really know that much about it. I just know that I think companies, especially new businesses, need to be more aware of their carbon footprint. So I went to a carbon consultancy company and they calculated my emissions. They told me how much it's going to be to offset my emissions.
Oh, and then you go to another company that actually then is all about cutting people's carbon for them.
Yeah.
So they'll plant trees on your behalf. You're not in Heaton Park every Saturday afternoon.
No, definitely not.
Trimming somebody's bush for them or something. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button. I really must be keep away from this desk.
How long have you been here?
My emissions are all over the place tonight, so yeah. Yes, it's so exciting. We've got attractive people in the show.
I know.
Right.
We don't normally let them out.
No, he's not getting out. No. No, never mind. Oh, I'd like to thank you for coming along. It's wonderful.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's lovely to meet you. Is there any song, one of our other colleagues goes, is there any song we could play for you as a thank you for coming on?
I'm not too sure, mate, if you have it or not. It's an old one. It goes back from 1985.
We probably have got it then.
Come on.
And it's Soul to Soul, Back to Life.
You sure?
Look at that.
Thanks.
Anyone thought we'd run a radio station here?
This is Julie Esmond-Alsh, a.k.a. Hayley Popper from Coronation Street, and you're listening to Tuesday Night Out.
What was that series where everyone slept with each other and they lived on boats? Always had trouble cramming their shoulder pads in the cabins.
Howard's Way.
Beautiful piece of television.
Hi, I'm Rowetta, and you're listening to Tuesday Night Out. It's not just for the gays, it's for black Jewish thingers too.
In fact, we'll let anyone on here, won't we?
Like, we will.
Oh, I put all three up. We don't need all three now.
No.
He's gone.
Oh, it sounds like I'm back in the room again.
I know, they're very echoey, aren't they?
Very echoey.
Very nice young man there.
Oh, he was.
Ooh, very nice young man.
Will we be buying any clothes, or do you think he'll actually bring us some freebies?
I don't think we'll get freebies. He's trying to make money.
Mind you, he took pictures, didn't he?
He did.
Of us with him. So they'll be on Facebook with us edited out.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Yes, never mind, eh? Such is life. Last week was World AIDS Day.
It was, yes. And, of course, we weren't here live owing to the fact that...
You were poorly.
I was a poorly boy. Yes.
You were a poorly boy. But I went along... Mm. With my other half.
Yes.
And we stood in the rain. You'll be able to hear the pitter patter of the rain.
Yes.
And we're just going to play you last week's
World AIDS Day. The unfurling of umbrellas.
The unfurling of umbrella. And you can also hear in during the minute silence us trying to light the candle with the, you know, when your light is going.
My name's Paul Fowler. I'd like to invite you to this year's World AIDS Day vigil in the heart of Manchester's Gay Village in Sackville Park on a very wet and cold December evening. The theme for this year's World AIDS Day is universal access and human rights. And I'm extremely pleased, as our first speaker, we've got the Lord Mayor of Manchester, Councillor Alison Firth, who brings a message of support to the vigil tonight. Lord Mayor.
Thank you, everybody, for your very warm welcome and for braving the rain, but we're very strong here in Manchester. World AIDS Day on the 1st of December is our opportunity to focus on the sobering statistics around HIV and AIDS and to remember all those people who have died. Since 1981, more than 25 million people have died of the disease, and the latest figures suggest that around 33 million people are currently living with HIV worldwide. Around 67% of these people live in sub-Saharan Africa, where access to appropriate medical assistance is often very hard and, more important, often impossible to access. Millions on that continent are in urgent need of life-saving drugs which would save their lives, and there are over 10 million children in Africa left without parents because of the epidemic. Hence, it's particularly appropriate that this year's World AIDS Day theme, as Councillor Fairweather has mentioned, is universal access and human rights. Another sobering fact is that people under 25 years of age account for around half of new HIV infections globally, and the majority of these people will die from AIDS before they are 35. It is with this knowledge that we come together in Manchester to commemorate World AIDS Day, almost 30 years since HIV first began to affect Manchester residents. We gather to remember those people we have known and lost to the virus. We gather also to remember those lives lost to the epidemic worldwide. Numbers of new infections, both locally and regionally, are still rising. It is particularly important that we continue to focus on HIV awareness, education, and safer sex, not only today, but all the year round. Thank you very much for coming this evening.
Thank you very much. It's the Lord Mayor of Manchester, Councillor Alison Firth, for a very thought-provoking contribution tonight on World AIDS Day. I'm now really pleased that we've actually got Chantelle, who's going to speak to us about the themes of World AIDS Day. So please give a great Manchester welcome for Chantelle.
Thank you so much. Many of you tonight will have experienced the bad old days of HIV. Over two decades ago, an unstoppable disease decimated the gay community in the UK, and Manchester was at the forefront of the fight back. The LGB community came together and did all they could to support those living with the virus. But without the medications needed, many partners, lovers, friends, and colleagues were lost to this new virus. It was a human tragedy, a tragedy made worse by the lackluster response by the political establishment at that time. Today, this tragedy continues. Sub-Saharan Africa is more heavily affected by HIV and AIDS than any other region of the world. 22.4 million people are living with HIV in the region. That is two-thirds of the global total. In 2008, around 1.4 million people died from AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa, and 1.9 million people became infected with HIV. Since the beginning of the epidemic, more than 14 million children have lost one or both parents to AIDS, and a staggering 25 million people have died since the beginning of the epidemic. What makes this situation criminal is that many of these deaths could have been avoided. We now have the medications necessary to control the HIV virus. This is not a cure, but with medications, people can live a normal life expectancy and play a full and active part in society. 10 million people worldwide are in need of HIV medications and not receiving them. 10 million people, that's because of the price of the medication or the lack of the political commitment, could now die in vain. This is not just a problem in Africa. In the United States of America, the richest country in the world, tens of thousands of people are not receiving the medications needed to maintain their health. In some states, the funding for antiretrovirals is pulled out without consultation. HIV-positive people are expected to find the funding to continue their treatment, choose an alternative, or stop altogether. This stop-start approach to HIV medications leads to drug-resistant strains of the virus developing, which can then be passed on to other people. HIV is a global pandemic that needs a global solution. I sometimes get lost in the numbers, so I will leave you tonight with these thoughts. When you hear people talk of the millions dying from AIDS or the millions denied access to life-saving medications, please do not get lost in the numbers. Think of someone you love or someone you lost and take action to stop the virus in its tracks. Thank you for listening and good night.
Thank you very much, Chantel, for giving a thought-provoking, moving speech and explaining the implications of the lack of access to treatment worldwide. We've now reached the point in the vigil where it's an opportunity to remember and celebrate the lives of those that we've lost to HIV and AIDS. I'm going to invite Jerry Potter onto the stage. First of all, he's going to read a poem by Brian Patton called Simple Lyric. He'll then lead us into the lighting of the candle, and there'll then be a minute's silence. Please welcome Jerry Potter. My God, you're brave. Brilliant. Nice to see you all. My God, there's loads of you. It's beautiful. As the chap just said, this is a poem not by me, but by another Scouse poet called Brian Patton, and it's beautiful. And it was chosen by Julie, who plays Hayley in Coronation Street. And I just have to say that after the poem, I will be given a candle which will be lit. When I hold it up, that is the cue for you to light your candles too. And I think it will be particularly and especially beautiful. This is called Simple Lyric by Brian Patton. When I think of his sparkling face and of his body that rocked this way and that, when I think of his laughter, his jubilance that filled me, it's a wonder I'm not gone mad. He is away and I cannot do what I want. Other faces pale when I get close. He is away and I cannot breathe him in. The space his leaving has created, I have attempted to fill with bodies that numbed upon touching. Among them, I expected his opposite and found only forgeries. His wholeness I know to be a fiction of my making. Still, I cannot dismiss the longing for him. It is a craving for sensation new flesh cannot wholly calm or cancel. It is perhaps for more than him. At night, above the parks, the stars are swarming. The streets are thick with nostalgia. I move through senseless routine and insensitive chatter, as if his going did not matter. He is away, and I cannot breathe him in. I am ill simply through wanting him. If you could observe a minute's silence, thank you very much. We've just spent a minute celebrating and remembering the lives of people we've lost to HIV and AIDS, remembering the lives of our families, our friends and our lovers. But it's also important that we remember and celebrate the fact that in the very earliest days of the epidemic, it was the gay community that was at the forefront of the battle against HIV and AIDS. We were lobbying the government. We were raising awareness. We were talking to people about HIV and AIDS in a hugely difficult climate. There were icebergs dropping through our letterboxes. There was fear and prejudice and discrimination. And throughout all that, we were creating the very organisations which exist today and are still helping and supporting living people, helping and supporting people living with HIV. And through all that, we were also looking after, caring and supporting for friends and families suddenly dying. The theme of tonight is universal access and human rights. Human rights, because the reality is that today people living with HIV still face huge amounts of stigma and discrimination. We face stigma from some elements within our own communities. We still face prejudice from some employers. We still face violence, hostility, and hatred. As we stand here tonight in Uganda, the government is proposing a law which will mean the death penalty for HIV-positive gay men in gay relationships. We need to stand together and be strong and campaign against stigma and prejudice wherever in the world it occurs. As a gay man living with HIV, I have easy access to the drugs that keep me well and healthy. But we've heard tonight from Chantel that in many, many parts of the world, that is not the case. People are denied access to basic drugs that will save their lives. We need to campaign and campaign and campaign to ensure that everybody who is HIV positive, whoever they are, wherever they are, have access to drugs that will keep them alive. So I urge you tonight on World AIDS Day to make a simple commitment to take one action that will mean you contribute to the global fight against for the campaign for equal access. Together, united, we will win this campaign. I'd like to thank some people tonight for organising the vigil. I'd like to thank the members of the World AIDS Partnership, which is the George House Trust, the Lesbian and Gay Foundation, the Black Health Agency, and all the agencies who contributed to work, not only today, but throughout the weekend. I'd like to thank all our speakers tonight, the Lesbian and Gay Chorus, the Lord Mayor of Manchester, Chantel and Jerry Potter. I'd also like to thank all the volunteers from all the different organisations who've been working over the weekend in the pouring rain and the cold, collecting money and raising awareness. Their contribution has been crucial in encouraging awareness and understanding and raising money, which is still needed urgently in the battle against HIV and AIDS. But above all, I'd like to thank you for coming here tonight, for standing in the rain, for showing your solidarity and support and commitment to people living with HIV, whether it's here in Manchester, whether it's across this country or across the world. There is so much that we still have to do. We need to make sure that HIV is high up our political agenda. We need to be campaigning and lobbying governments and NGOs for access to treatment. We need to be talking to our friends and families about challenging stigma. But I'm determined that we can do it together. Together we will win the battle against HIV and AIDS. Thank you.
Feels like fire. I'm so in love with you. Dreams are like angels. They keep bad at bay, bad at bay. Love is the light, scaring darkness away. Yeah. I'm so in love with you. Purge the soul. Make love your goal. The power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul. Flame on, burn desire, love with tongues of death-defying love for you. And
There you have it, the this year's World AIDS Day vigil at in Sackville Gardens, Canal Street.
Sounded a bit damp.
It was very damp. You could hear the wind in the microphones as well, couldn't you? It was a good do, as always.
Yeah, that's the main thing, yes.
And I like it when loads of people do turn up, so it's excellent.
Yes.
Brilliant stuff. So still to come, we've still got some more Blanches.
Oh, yes.
Now, tribute to Blanche. We've also got a song of which she appeared in the video of,
oh,
which you can see on YouTube. And if you want to see any more Blanches, you can actually get them. I've posted them all on TuesdayNightOut.co.uk.
Excellent.
Right, I've done all sorts there.
It's not just for the gays. Early in the morning, when the day is dawning, your real postman, Pat, rolls up about noon wearing a pair of shorts and his breakfast. And if he's not chucking elastic bands like confetti, he'll be rifling through your birthday cards for ready cash. Or leaving your valuables out on the step.
Blanche
is entitled to the truth. Now, what propaganda is this? And as for Mrs. Goggins, she'll be cowering behind 3-inch glass with a baseball bat under the counter, assuming that her post office hasn't been shut down, of course.
That is a grossly unfair caricature.
If the cap fits. Oh, that beggar's the only one that wears one these days.
See what you've done?
Well, it's good for him not to watch so much telly. We used to make our own entertainment when I were his age.
Yes, well, I'd rather he didn't spend his time pulling the legs off defenceless creatures.
I did no such thing.
Hey, your post's here.
Shall we do a bit of gay news?
We've not had any gay news all night.
Well,
gay
no,
news.
But we had fashion designers here.
We've had fashion designers.
Exactly.
Fashion designers.
Okay, I'm going to go to school with you on this one. There you go.
Oh, good.
A guide has been released by gay charity Stonewall to help teachers deal with homophobic insults. Research from
throw them back at the kids.
Absolutely. Research from the organisation found that the majority of secondary school teachers had heard phrases such as dyke, poof, and that's gay being used by students.
Oh, that's so gay.
I know, it's so gay.
It's so gay.
Oh, yeah. Put a finger in a dyke. Oh. However, 9 in 10 primary school teachers
had
never received any training on how to prevent and respond to homophobic bullying. The guide will be the first in a series of education guides for teachers on different specific aspects, even, of tackling the issue. According to Stonewall, it features practical advice as well as information on policy, legislation and real case study examples. Stonewall Chief Executive Ben Summerskill, who I think gets more mentions on this programme almost than Irish Robinson,
than Peter Thatcher,
said, "Every day in schools, homophobic language undermines the confidence and self-esteem self-esteem, not just of young gay people, but of any student deemed different. Challenging homophobic language doesn't have to be time-consuming or difficult. Stonewall's educational guides are designed to restore confidence to teachers who, until now, have been under-equipped in creating an environment where all young people can learn free from discrimination and bullying.
Good.
Yes.
Excellent. So now, George Michael wishes Elton would shut up.
Oh, does he?
That's a bit of a microphone over here.
Okay.
Yes, George Michael has said, this was in The Guardian last week, said that Elton John should stop talking about him to the media. The two singers have had an on and off feud after John spoke publicly of his concerns for Michael. George Michael has told The Guardian, Elton lives on that. He will not be happy until I bang on his door in the middle of the night saying, please, please, please help me, Elton. Take me to rehab. Like, who else has he done that for? He looks after it to Robbie and all sorts of people, hasn't he?
And he tells everyone to go to rehab.
Oh, no, but he takes them all in, doesn't he? Hey, it's not going to happen. You know what I said last week? No, what I heard last week? Jerry, that's Jerry Halliwell, told Kenny, that's Goss, that Bono, that's the new two, having spoken to Elton, had approached Jerry to say...
Elton John?
That's Elton as in John.
Yeah.
Pardon the name, furnish. Had approached Jerry of the Halliwells to say, what can we do for George? He added, this is what I have to deal with because I don't want to be part of that social clique. All I have to do to stop it is to hang out in London so people realise I don't look like I'm close to death. And as if Bono gives a two hoots what I do with my private life, Elton just needs to shut his mouth and get on with his own life. There you go. Although in the interview he did admit that he smokes cannabis and goes cruising for sex on Hampstead Heath, because he said it's better than getting off Eid off your tits in a pub and pulling the wrong person.
Exactly.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
I know. Right. Shall I do Bollywood with you?
Oh, yes.
I'll do a bit of Bollywood.
Bollywood.
An upcoming Bollywood film will feature what is thought to be the industry's first gay love scene. I Am Omar, which is the title of the film, one of four short stories which make up the film I Am, focuses on male sex workers and homophobic police officers. In one scene, actors Rahul Bose and Aryan Matha are seen embracing in a public place. They are seen by a police officer who begins to harass them.
It's like EastEnders.
I know. The film is set in the context of Section 377, the colonial era law which banned gay sex. Bose has previously acted in a film which involved a gay gang rape scene. Director Onir told the Mumbai Mirror, it's like the Daily Mirror, I think, that he hoped the scene would get past India's film censors. He said, luckily, none of my actors had any inhibitions. Rahul and Aryan did the scenes, which goes much beyond anything seen in Indian cinema. Ooh, they behaved like thorough professionals. Onir added that no stills of the scene had been taken as he did not want them released on the internet. My God, that makes a change. The film will be screened at Rotterdam Film Festival. Another director, Madhur Bhandarkar...
I'm glad you read this one out.
You, Madhur Bhandarkar had included a gay kissing sequence in his movie Fashion, but removed it before censors saw the film.
Oh.
And
I'm just looking at pictures of Ollie Murs without his top on.
Oh, speaking of Ollie...
In the Daily Mail.
You might have heard that it's been accidentally leaked on purpose.
Oh, do I need my X Factor?
Oh, yes, quickly.
Talk about something else.
Okay, then, yes, okay. I'll load it.
It's all right, you can carry on now.
Okay, it's been accidentally leaked who the three finalists are going to be singing with in their duets section this weekend.
Oh, okay, who is it?
Well, Lord Ollie with his shirt off, as you're looking at Murs, is going to be singing with Robbie Williams, apparently.
Oh, he can sing with me.
Joe McKeldry, he of... Oh, I love your pet, you're my little bear, boy, you're my little Geordie bear, oh, how are you, pet, I love your pet, oh, pet, I love your pet. He is going to be singing with, allegedly, George Michaels.
So it's not with Elton John together, no. A duet, no.
But the one that's got us the most, and I have to say... Pitch
will be Pitch Perfect. Pitch Perfect.
No, bitch, I have to say. Stacey is getting Mickey Bubbles.
Mickey Bubbles, I can't believe. Stacey's Mickey Bubbles.
How many times have you turned one
or either of us off tonight?
I'm just so excited. I was going to be Stacey.
Oh, dear.
Give us some Stacey.
Okay, well, shall I do this news report? Because I've not done a Stacey news report all night.
So who's Daniel got? Oh, no, he's not in it anymore.
Oh, don't be cruel to Daniel. Ooh. I like Daniel. I like Daniel. Sorry, I have to say to
you. Whatever.
Okay, right.
You're like Ollie when you see that his kit on.
There you go. You have to build yourself up and start talking quicker and get yourself sort of like, what are you doing? What?
I'm free.
Thank you. Right, you build yourself up and get going quicker. And then eventually, you go, Colin Firth agrees it's difficult for gay actors to be about their sexuality. Simon Clements made by Rupert this week, who won the Stars Academy in a career to himself, coming out of the closet. Firth recently starred in Tom Ford's little debut as Single Man. He played gay college professor Christopher George Falconer in the adaptation of the Christopher Isherwood novel.
Breathe.
Oh, my word. He told Parade, if you're straight out to taking the role of a gay man, it's not the same as someone being in this business. I think there's some openly constraints about being openly gay. It is to do with whatever sexual taboos are in place in Hollywood. I know that some characters are far more circumspect about keeping their secret hidden. There are a lot of openly gay leading men. Speaking about his gay role, he said, I think the fact that the man who plays is comfortably open about the fact that he is gay is definitely significant, but I think it's just reinforces the power of the story, which is about a love story between men that's very accessible, universal quality. And I think it was really great that Simon liked my performance this week, but I don't know if I'm going to win. I don't know where I might win or might lose. I don't really care.
You want to get out more. Wait till you try bingo. You'll hyperventilate.
Oh my god, I went to the bingo once. It was like really weird. I was so called down 69 and everyone had a giggle. Oh, no.
Finished. Thank you for that, Stacey. So who's going to win, do you think? It's going to be Joe. Yeah, but who's going to be second then?
I think Stacey.
I just can't tell. I think it will be Joe that wins. I'd like Ollie. I'd like all three of them to win, actually.
I wouldn't.
Well, you don't like Ollie, do you?
No.
I want to lick Ollie's lolly.
No, I just think I think he's just too geezer, isn't he? You know.
Oh yeah, but he's
good.
That'd
be the phone going, by the way.
He's good for that. Oh, they can wait. We're too busy.
If you're listening at the moment,
oh, don't say that. It's so amateur radio.
Who is it?
We'll get to you in a minute. So yes, Colin Firth. You did the Colin Firth story.
Hang on a second. Yeah, I've just done the Colin Firth story at breakneck pace.
But Rupert Everett said yes that it shouldn't come out because it ruined your career. It's like, no, you have to have talent. Because plenty of people have got on being gay and have been actors. Look at Peter Tatchell. Not Peter Tatchell, he's not an actor.
Rock Hudson.
Not Rock Hudson, he wasn't out. No, the old one.
Michael Barrymore. Rock Hudson. Liberace.
All married before they went the other way. Ooh. Right, so have we got a song, do you think, we should play?
Did you want me to try and find one?
Yeah, well, I've got Muse.
Okay, play that then.
having this baby brought up by two men, even if one of them does wear a frock.
Right, indeed. So, yes, Tuesday night out here, we're racing towards the end. We've not done much gay news, but I've got for you.
Have you got some Sue Watch?
Got some Sue Watch. Are you ready? Have you got Sue Watch ready?
Yes, here we go. There you go. Thank you.
Bells, bells, bells.
Yes, it's the Christmas remix that we'll be releasing.
It's starting together.
Anyway. Best known for a sweet-natured, if somewhat dozy, Chalamet role in Heidi High. The 60-year-old actress, known to millions as Peggy... 60? As, oh, yes, she's 60. That's amazing. She's said to have lost the plot after the taxi she was travelling in was hit by Sue Sanderson's car, who is a disabled driver.
Oh.
Officers were called to the scene in Bournemouth, Dorset, where Miss Pollard is appearing in Snow White. Mm-hmm. Miss Sanderson from Poole claimed, "I was in a disabled parking space. I suffer from acute osteoarthritis and have difficulty walking. I have a blue badge and was entitled to be there, but the taxi driver wasn't." So it appears that Sue was in a disabled space in a taxi. So as there was a small collision, and as Mrs. Sanderson exchanged details with the cabbie, Miss Pollard, who was dressed in one of her trademark colourful outfits, made up of striped leggings, a pill, and a pink, bright pink pillbox hat. Obviously, they're long enough to get a description. Oh. Walked across the road to a cash point, then came back and allegedly demanded, "Do you know who I am? I'm an actress." Not a very good one, dear. And there's a picture of a full-length picture of the poor disabled woman in the Daily Mail for
is
you.
Is that? Oh, yes. It's nothing like a picture of a poor disabled lady.
Yes, she totally lost the plot and was ranting and raving. She brought the traffic to a complete standstill and then stormed back across the road.
Before going, "Heidi High Campers!"
So, yes, that's Sue Watch for the evening.
OK, well, just there we go. Bring it back up. Let's take a digital at the end. Oh, where's the sleigh bells?
Starting together. It's a funny looking thermometer, this.
It's rectal, but it's been through the dishwasher.
Indeed. Just time to bash the bishop.
Oh, quick, bash the bishop.
Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
What we need is the old catch the pigeon music. Catch the pigeon. We can have bash the bishop. Bash the bishop.
In the church of the poison mind. In the church of the poison mind.
Yes, go on then.
That's Stacey on acid, that one. So, Archbishop of Canterbury criticises lesbian bishop's appointment.
Mm.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, has criticised the election of a lesbian assistant bishop in Los Angeles, saying it was a threat to the cohesion of the Anglican Church. The Reverend Mary Glasspool of Maryland, 55, is the first out gay bishop to be elected since 2003, and she was selected this weekend. But Williams said her appointment raises various serious questions and suggested that the diocesan bishops should reject her. Williams said yesterday the election of Mary Glasspool by the Diocese of Los Angeles, and he said Liverpool, as suffragan bishop-elect raises very serious questions, not just for the... Oh, it's that word again. What are you doing? Oh, is it...
Oh, of course we're having this, aren't we? I forgot.
What?
I was going to finish the Christmas song. Oh, yes. We're having this then, are we?
Yeah, and it's that church beginning with E.
Okay.
Episcopal? Church.
Episcopal.
So, yes. So, but that's about us... So, yes, that was Bash the Bishop for the day.
So we're not going to finish with a Christmas song then?
No.
No. Okay.
We've had one Christmas song.
Oh, all right then.
Okay. I'm going to finish with the song that if you look on YouTube, if you put Mike the Mechanics, The Living Years, into YouTube, at 3 minutes 30, there's Blanche.
Oh, right. What's she doing?
She's in the choir.
Is she just saying, "Nasty Gash"?
In the choir going,
"Ooh."
Oh, I can't find it. Hang on.
"Ooh, Nasty Gash."
She is going like that.
"Ooh, Nasty Gash."
Ken had an affair with an actress recently.
Would you like one more before we go?
Yes, please. Come on,
Maggie. Which one would you like?
I want the one from the Alcoholics Anonymous thing.
"Trust in any family is vital. Deirdre, I'm trying to be honest here." "Honesty and trust. Two things you're a world expert on, eh, Ken?"
Ken recently had an affair with an actress. Oh, it wasn't Nicole Kidman or a Glenda Jackson. She lived on a tugboat.
It was a barge. Is there any wonder why I drink?
So that's us done for the evening.
Oh, we'll be back next Tuesday, though.
We will indeed. Not far till Christmas.
No. Oh. Not far till Christmas. There you go.
So, don't forget to get the podcast every week at choosingitout.co.uk.
And we will join you next Tuesday from 9 o'clock here on the lovely Withenshaw FM. And this is Mike and the Mechanics and the Living Years playing us out tonight. Bye-bye.
Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Of paper filled with imperfect thoughts, still to conversations. I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it clear. Oh, say it clear. You can be so as well as you hear. It's too late.
For Paul O'Grady.
We only sacrifice the future. It's the bitterness that lasts. So don't yield to the fortunes you sometimes see as fate. It may have a new perspective on a different day. And if you don't give up and don't give in,
that's the end of the Tuesday Night Out podcast. Don't forget, you can listen to it live every Tuesday evening, 9 o'clock, on wfmradio.org, and get the podcast at tuesdaynightout.co.uk.